In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. Our Lady of Lourdes, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with part two of the disposition that's needed. Jesus shows this to Louisa, this disposition that is needed to live in the divine will. Today is Our Lady of Lourdes. And what Our Lady of America told Sister Mary Ephraim, that there will be more miracles here in the United States than at Lourdes and Fatima. And basically combined, there's so much that's going to happen. God has got such great plans. The kingdom is coming, and the Lord and Our Lady want their children to get ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming, this new and divine way of holiness. So this disposition is so essential. So we begin here today on Volume 14, 1124, 1922. Louisa said, I said to myself, how is it possible that Jesus, who is so good, did not deign to say a word to Pilate, nor give him a glance? So here, Louisa was very surprised that the Lord, when he was being brought before Pilate, basically just after the scourging, didn't say anything to him. Who knows whether the perfidious heart of Pilate would have converted at the power of Jesus's gaze. And Jesus made himself seen and told me, my daughter, his perversity and lack of interior disposition were such that he did not deserve that I, God, look at him, or I, God, say a word to him. If I had done that, Jesus said, he would have rendered himself more guilty, because each word or each gaze of mine are additional bonds that are formed between me and that soul and the creature. So here Jesus is saying this perversity, this interior, he was so perverse, his interior did not want Jesus. And this is what happens to a lot of people when, you know, we talk to them about the Holy Eucharist, when we talk to them about the Blessed Mother, when we talk to them about the sacraments or sacramentals. A lot of people don't want that. There are some that are even proud of their sins, and flaunt their sins, because they believe that, they're righteous. And, this is something that the Lord wants to help us, enter into, and that is humility. God is holy. God alone is holy. God alone is good. And, God alone is God. And we are mere creatures. We're mere dust. And he, the Lord God Almighty, invites us to come to him when he sees that we're ready, when he sees that we want him. He comes. He doesn't. I was told a long time ago, you don't go to places where people don't want you. you just don't go there because they have an attitude already of not wanting. Our job is to have that disposition, so that we're not rendered more guilty. Those that, go to Holy Mass, those that receive Holy Communion unworthily, St. Paul says, you damn yourself. When we die, when we're in the face of God Almighty and God shows us who we are and who he is. This is what the illumination of conscience is going to do for a brief moment while we're on earth for at least 15 minutes. This illumination of conscience that we will have is we will recognize that God alone is holy. We see how holy he is, how beautiful he is, how loving he is, how God he is, and how we are creatures. And we will not want to stand in the presence of God. And the saints tell us this, that if we go to hell, it's because we choose it. This is what I deserve. This is what I need. I cannot stand in the presence of God because of my life, my beliefs, my desires. And so therefore I can't be in his presence. What the Lord wants from us is to recognize, yes, that is true. He alone is holy. He alone is good, but he alone is merciful. And they always say that when the illumination of conscience happens, we have to be praying, Lord, I am not worthy. You know, Lord, have mercy on me a sinner. And again, that attitude isn't to just go around saying how terrible humans are, but how great God is, how magnificent God is. And he's calling us to enter into his presence. So he says in volume 15, 1:5, 19:23, he says, knowledge can make you esteem more the divine royal palace of my will. And oh, this is so beautiful. Our God is asking us to enter into this divine royal palace, this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II is offering to us. Heaven is the divine royal palace of God. Heaven is the most beautiful place that we could ever imagine. Heaven is heaven. And our God is asking us to enter into this new and abundant life. He really is. He needs us to cooperate. So he says, suppose that someone finds himself in the royal palace of a king and he does not know that that residence belongs to the king. He will have no appreciation. He might even walk distractedly, talking, laughing, or nor shall he dispose himself to receive the gifts of the king. We see that with children, you know, when they're brought to Holy Mass for the first time, they don't know. And the children have to be taught, you know, little by little, this is a holy place. What the children love to hear is the echo of their voice in the church. They love to hear, wow, that's kind of fun. And yet little by little, as you teach the child that this is a different place, this is where God dwells. When they see the silence of the parents, when they see the stillness of the parents, and, you know, they begin to understand that they're disposing themselves, to get ready for something that they don't understand. But once a person realizes where they are, when we walk into the church and when we genuflect in front of the Blessed Sacrament, we say to the Lord, you're my Lord, you're my Savior, you're my Master, you're my King, you're my God, you're my all. When we realize that Jesus is in the Blessed Sacrament, that is God, which we view when we look at the monstrance. He is there. The Lord God Almighty is there. And we fall in love with our God. See, it's as we dispose ourselves, as we begin to understand how great our God is, we begin to receive the gifts of the King. Then Jesus says, but if the soul knew that this is the royal palace of the King, he would look at all things with attention and he would begin to appreciate them, especially the tabernacle. Especially the Holy Eucharist, especially an hour of adoration. You begin to have attention. You begin to say, this is not human. This is a share in divinity. As a matter of fact, I just read something. I think it was Pius XII. He said that we have to get ready to live in the divine will. I mean, to hear a pope before Louisa was really known, is he has attention. He has appreciation for this gift of the divine will. So it says, see, the attentiveness is the way of knowledge. So what is Jesus doing with us? He's giving us this new and divine way of holiness, and he's teaching us every day if we wish to listen. The Lord God Almighty, he is the Word. He is speaking these words to Louisa, and he says to Louisa, put them down on paper. So Louisa's spiritual director said, if you don't put this down on paper, you will end up in hell, because this is necessary for us to know. Her spiritual director made it very clear to Louisa. So it says, knowledge changes a person. And each and every one of us, as we read the Book of Heaven, begin to understand that. We begin to know how great our God is to the next level, you know, the next click. You know, he's constantly leading. For all eternity, he's going to do this. And we begin to pay attention. We begin to appreciate everything that Jesus is saying. That's why those who are reading the Book of Heaven, those, you know, if you're reading the calendar, you can't wait to go back to read. You can't wait. I can't wait to hear what Jesus is going to say today. Even though you may have read it 100 times, it's brand new, because he keeps on expanding our capacity to understand this new and divine way of holiness. So he says, see, the attentiveness is the way to knowledge, and knowledge changes the person as well as things, disposing him to receive the great goods of God. So by knowing, this is what Jesus says, that you are in the royal palace of my divine will. Okay. When you open up the Book of Heaven, Jesus is saying, come in, come in. When you're reading, knowing that you are now entering the royal palace of the divine will, you shall always receive, and you shall always take so much as to be able, first of all, to Louisa, that you give this to all your brothers and sisters. And with us, as you read, your family is changing. Your family is changing, guaranteed. As you read, we're all of the same blood. This is our family. This is blood. You know, it's as you read, you become part of your family. Your blood becomes royal, if you want to say. Your blood becomes one of the true Adam and the true Eve, the new Adam, the new Eve, Jesus and Mary. So therefore, as it's changing in you, as you're getting this transfusion from Jesus, by what he teaches us, his lessons, his promises, his prophecies. As you enter into this book, a new and divine way of holiness is happening to your family as well, guaranteed. And you will see it little by little. You'll hear it little by little. You'll sense it little by little. Because of who you are, because Jesus says, you do what I want and I'll do what you want. So what does Jesus want from us? Jesus wants from us, he wants us to begin to enter into this new and divine way of holiness, to begin to enter in new and beautiful way of living. This is what God is asking of us. So the next part here is volume 15. 124, 1923. Look inside my will. So here, Jesus wants us to enter. When you open up the Book of Heaven, he says, I want you to look inside now. That this is, he says, it's the only book that will transform a soul. He says, are there perhaps other acts of creatures multiplied within mine, reaching up to the last act that is performed on this earth? Look well, Jesus says, and you will find none. This is, see, look, he says, do you look well, look inside my divine will. Can you see any other creature multiplying within mine, my divine will, reaching up to the last act that is to perform on earth? He says to Louisa, look well, and you will find one. And he says, this means that no one has entered. Louisa has. Louisa is the firstborn. Louisa is the newborn. It has been reserved for you, Louisa, my little daughter, to open the door of my eternal volition. It's been reserved for you, Louisa, so as to unify your acts with Jesus's acts and with those of my mother, Mary. So who is the one who brings us to this new life of Jesus and Mary, of the new Adam, of the new Eve? It's Louisa. to unify her acts with mine and my mother's, he says, by the Blessed Mother, to render all our acts triple before the divine majesty. That was Adam's job. Adam was supposed to be one with God, echoing, repeating, redoing what God has done. And he failed. So Jesus says, I'm going to come to earth. My mother's coming to come to earth as the new Adam, the new Eve. And now we're going to start again with the newborn Louisa. He says, to render all our acts with Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, triple. Now it's Adam and it's Jesus and Mary and Louisa before the Supreme Majesty for the good of humanity. Do you see what we're entering into? It's all this doom and gloom. Oh, what's going to happen? It's all this doom and gloom out there. God is coming. The kingdom is coming. He's wrapping up this misery that we've been in for 6,000 years. He redeemed us 2,000 years ago. His mother co-redeemed with him on Calvary. She was with him on Calvary. And now the newborn is here, the firstborn of the divine will. Finally, when Jesus says, you must be perfected as my heavenly Father is perfect. How do we do this? He says, I'm going to show you how through a human. He says, now I have opened the doors and others may enter. So God is asking us, come into this kingdom, provided that they dispose themselves to such a great good, provided that they understand this isn't about being holy and good and saintly. That's volume 1 through volume 10, which we all need. We must become a saint. But then to enter into this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming upon the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the love of the Holy Spirit, through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming upon man, it's now the door is open. It's coming. Why? So that we can finally enter in volume 20 to volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. It's for us if we wish. Now, nobody's living in it fully. It would be great if we were living in it fully. But that great act, that great time that's coming hasn't happened yet. We got to get ready for it. So in volume 15, 327, 1923, my love devoured me. Now here we see how great our love is. My flame of love devoured me and wanted to devour the souls, humanity in my flames. So you get a glimpse of how important the flame of love is as we enter into this gift. Everything leads how important divine mercy is as we enter into this gift. God has planned everything at this time. So as we enter into it, he's helping us become aware of this. He says to Louisa, you're just a spark. You're just a tiny little flame, but my flame of love is going to consume you. And then you're going to be ready to live this abundant life. Why? He says this, my love devoured me and wanted to devour humanity in my flames to make the soul be reborn as another me, image and likeness of God. This is why I wanted to hide myself under the Eucharistic veils. And again, he teaches us this. As you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus is in exposition. Jesus is showing himself to you. He says, this is why I hide myself in the Eucharist. So hidden to enter into the soul, to form this transformation of the soul into myself. Why are we here? To be us, miserable human creatures? Jesus says, I want you to enter into this life so that there is a new and divine way of holiness that's coming to all the earth. This new and divine way of holiness is ours if we wish. He wants to transform us, he says. But in order for this transformation to take place, the dispositions were needed on the part of humanity. And my love, giving in to sacrament, Holy Eucharist. And so it issued from within my divinity more graces, more gifts, more favors, more light for the good of humanity, to render the man, the woman, worthy to receive me. Do you see what God is doing? He's got everything prepared. And he says, 2,000 years ago, I instituted the sacrament to get people ready to begin to share in his divinity with more graces, more gifts, more flavors, more light for our good, to render us worthy to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. This is why I said earlier, if you're receiving the Eucharist in an unworthy state, St. Paul says you're condemning yourself. We have to be worthy. How to become worthy? By being in the state of grace, going to confession. Confession is necessary. Confession is essential. And it's not just a magic trick. It's the way Jesus set it up when he rose from the dead. First thing he says to his apostles, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. This is the job of the priest, his first priest. That's who he appeared to, his mother and his priests. He says, to render them worthy to receive me. He said, I, God, could say that it put out so much good. This is the Holy Eucharist, as to surpass the gifts of creation. God's giving us a hint why it's so important to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament. He says, I, as God, could say the Holy Eucharist put out so much good as to surpass the gift of creation. Why? Creation was fiat mihi. The Eucharist says, this is my body. This is my blood. First, Jesus said, I wanted to give humanity the graces in order for humanity to receive me in the Holy Eucharist. And then he says, to give myself the true fruit of my sacramental life. So he produces creation. Why? So that we can enter into sanctification. Why? So that we can begin to receive the fruit of his sacramental life. He said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply. It's not just about children. It's about everything. Multiply with your, I love you. Multiply with your, I want you. I desire you. I plead for you. I beg you to be with me. However, Jesus says, in order to anticipate souls with these gifts, it takes a little emptying of themselves. What are you empty of? You empty yourself of sin. I hate sin. And that's why when we go to confession, we say, blessed be Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I hate this. I don't want to sin anymore. So I'm going to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid these near occasions of sin. You have to empty yourself of all that is worldly, all that is sinful. What is sinful? Basically, your ego, your will, your love of self. Oh, yes, you have to love yourself as you love your neighbor, as you love yourself. Well, we love ourselves because Jesus is there. We love our neighbor because Jesus is there. And then he says, the first, you have to empty yourself. You have to have the hate of sin. You have to desire to receive me. I don't want sin anymore. I want that to be replaced by the love of God. I want to enter into this life of God. I want to enter into this heart of God. It's living. It's the divine life of Jesus. These gifts do not descend into rot. These gifts do not descend into mud. So without my gifts, Jesus says, they do not have the true disposition to receive Jesus. Okay, what are the gifts? The sacraments, the sacramentals. He says, I give this to you so that you can get ready for what I'm going to do. Why do we receive Holy Communion? We receive Holy Communion for 15 minutes until the host dissolves, and where we are in communion with God. He says, without my gifts, they do not have the true disposition to receive me. In order, in descending into them, he says, I do not find the void in order to communicate my divine life to them. I am, Jesus says, as though dead for those souls that don't have true dispositions. They are dead for me. Then he says, I burn. Here's the flame of love again. I burn. I am as though dead for them, and they are dead for me. I burn, and they do not feel my flames, and I am the light, and they remain more blinded. Then he tells Luisa, oh, how many sorrows in my sacramental life. How many sorrows for the lack of dispositions, lack of feeling nothing good in receiving me, to the point of nauseated me, Jesus says. And if they continue to receive me, it is to form my continuous Calvary and their eternal condemnation. Jesus shows us this. Oh, it doesn't matter if I go to communion or not. Yes, it does. It doesn't matter if I go to confession or not. Yes, it does. Jesus wants us to get ready for himself. And that's what confession does. When you make a good confession, what happens at that point is you are full of grace until you sin. And sinning happens almost instantly, as soon as you become worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, doubting. Volume 15, 4, 14, 1923. Since the work of redemption was to be so great as to overwhelm all human generations, Jesus said, I waited for many centuries the prayers, the yearnings, the tears, the penances of so many patriarchs and so many prophets, and of the whole people of the Old Testament. He says, this redemption was going to overwhelm all human generations. And I did this in order to dispose humanity to receive a good so great, so to move me to centralize in Mary, the celestial creature, all the goods that everyone was to enjoy. So where do we find all the goods of redemption? In the Blessed Mother. And the closer we get to the Blessed Mother, to the new Eve, the more happiness we're going to have by knowing her. I mean, just look at Our Lady of Lourdes today, the day when we honor her. Look at Bernadette. And if you haven't seen the Song of Bernadette, you're missing something wonderful. You really are. What this little soul, who Our Lady appeared to, wanted the whole world to get to know. Why? Because she, Our Lady, gave to Bernadette, I am the Immaculate Conception. And the church had already said that, but it was verified by the Blessed Mother. Who is this Immaculate Conception? How great our God is. He gives us the sacraments and sacramentals. He gives us his mother as our mother. And he said, I did this in order to dispose the souls to receive a good so great as to move me, Jesus, the Son of God, to centralize in Mary, the celestial creature, all the goods that everyone was to enjoy. It's found in Mary. That's why we pray the rosary. We pray the rosary every day. As St. John Paul II said, the rosary is the second greatest prayer. The first greatest prayer is the Holy Mass. Somebody called me yesterday and they said, now, Father, I got to get back in shape, so I'm going to go to Mass every day. But there's a couple days where I can't go to Mass. I'm going to go swimming. Do you think that's okay? And I went, I think you got your priorities screwed up. Of course, Holy Mass is the best. How could you even begin to think that your exercise is more important than Holy Mass? You're receiving divine strength by being with our Eucharistic Lord. Jesus comes into you. Why? So that you can give birth to Jesus as Our Lady did. How do you give birth to Jesus? Jesus gazed in my gazing. Listen in my listening, speak in my speaking. He says, I created the senses of mankind for God. God wants to reign in us, not just a personal relationship, That's the scratch. That's a beginning. But he wants us to allow him to reign in us. So he says, take a look at how things proceed in a parable way. In order to make my redemption, it made the promise of the future Messiah. And so that by hoping for Jesus to come, they would not only dispose themselves, but find that they too, their own salvation, in their future Redeemer. Now, in order to dispose the souls to live in my divine will, to let them partake in the goods that my divine will contains, to make man return back to the path of his origin. That means to go back to the way he was created by God. I myself, Jesus said, wanted to pray as the first one, to make my voice resound from one end of the earth to the other, even up high in heaven, to say to my Father, our Father who art in heaven. I did not say my Father, but I called him Father of the whole human family, so as to engage the Father in that which I was going to add. May all hallow your name, so that your kingdom may come, your will may be done on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. Because Jesus says, I prayed myself. The Father surrendered to my supplications, Jesus says, and I formed the seed of a good so great, so as this seed might be known. I taught my prayer to the apostles, and they transmitted it to the whole earth, so that just as the people of the future Redeemer found salvation in him and disposed itself to receive the promised Messiah, in the same way, this seed formed by me, the church prays and repeats my very prayers many times and disposes herself to receive that creatures would recognize and love my celestial Father as their own Father in such a way as to deserve to be loved as children and to receive the great good that my divine will be done on earth the way it's done in heaven. So Jesus says this, so when the whole church prays, just as the tears, the penances, the prayers to obtain the Messiah for 4,000 years, virgin, in order to centralize such a good in her so that all of humanity can receive their Savior that they've been praying for 4,000 years, even though they did not know Mary. In the same way, now that the church recites the Our Father, Jesus says, it is precisely for you, Louisa, that she prays, so that I, God, may centralize in you, Louisa, all the good that my divine will contains, and the way and the how the divine will may have life on earth as it is in heaven. So what does he do? He gives Louisa the book of heaven, the way and the how this is going to happen. And he asks us, are you ready? Are you ready for the divine will to reign on earth as it is in heaven? Are you ready for this new beginning? And when we say yes, he says, watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up for you the Our Father. I'm going to show you how important this prayer is and how soon it's going to come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what happens when you read the book of heaven. It's all of a sudden you become, gee, I've been praying the Our Father for all these years. I never realized the kingdom's coming, and it's very close. Volume 15, 425, 1923. I had wanted to give man the happiness that my divine will contains in redemption, and it would have been giving as though to the dead and letting it be trampled on if I had given this gift of gifts. Mankind was not disposed to receive such a great good of the divine, living in the divine will. And this is why I wanted to teach my prayer in order to dispose humanity. I contented myself with waiting for different epochs, letting centuries upon centuries pass to make known the living in my divine will. And he says, and now I give the start to this great happiness through Louisa. Everything that the saints taught us point to the divine will. Like I said, flame of love points to the divine will. Divine mercy points to the divine will. Everything leads to this point of starting this great divine happiness, this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesies for us. Volume 15, 4, 28, 1923. After having obtained the second purpose of redeeming man, I wanted to secure the first one, that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That man who had, Adam, who had gone out of my divine will, him and his family may re-enter into my divine will once again. In order to obtain this, I give to the first creature all my merits, all my works, all my steps, all my palpitating heart, all my wounds, all my blood, in order that my humanity may dispose her, Louisa, to prepare her to enter into my divine will. Now, she's the first one born of original sin who has this. Our Lady already possessed it. She is the Immaculate Conception. But she's Theotokos. She's the Mother of God. Fallen humanity, by being born of original sin, had to be disposed. I had to prepare, Jesus says, Louisa, to let her enter into my divine will. So he says, in fact, first, she, Louisa, must take the complete fruit of my redemption. So she's the first one. Why? Jesus says the culmination of everything I did in redemption was to rise from the dead. And he says to Louisa, I want you to rise from the death of your human will. I want you to live without your human will, the death of your human will, where the original sin came from, to be, I want that separate from you. So he taught her how to do this. The why and the how is found in the Book of Heaven. First, she must take the complete fruit of my redemption, and then, as though in triumph, enter the possession of the immense ocean sea of my supreme will. I do not want Louisa to enter as a stranger, but I want Louisa to enter as a daughter, not poor, but rich, not ugly, but beautiful, as if, listen to this, she were another me. Therefore, I, God, want to centralize my whole life in you, Louisa. She's the firstborn of the divine will. She is where we want to go. Our Lady, it lives in it. She's Theotokos, Mother of God. She possesses this. But now a human born of original sin, Jesus says, I've centralized my whole life in you. You begin to live the life that I lived on earth. You begin not to just be a saint, but you begin to live through the power of the Holy Spirit, living in the divine will. You begin to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This is the life of Jesus. This is the life of Mary. Now think about this. This truth was given the Nihil Apsa and the Imprimatur through St. Honorable de Francia. I, God, want to centralize the whole of my life in you, Louisa. And the church says, yes, it's begun. Volume 15, 5, 2, 1923. Jesus speaking to the Heavenly Father. Oh, how my sacramental life feels discomforted because the bread of your will does not nourish them. Okay. Louisa says to the priests, you're giving the people a cold and stale bread that's hard to digest. If you would give them the divine will, they will feed on it. They will become strong. And he says, and they will follow what the church says. Oh, how my sacramental life feels discomforted. Because the bread of your will does not nourish them. On the contrary, it finds the corrupted bread of the human will. When you hear a homily and it's not focused on Jesus or the church, discomforts Jesus. He finds the corruption, the corrupted bread of the human will in that homily. Our job is to pray for the priests. Lord, touch their foreheads. Let the angels touch their foreheads so that they will begin to understand the divine will and love the divine will. Jesus says, oh, how disgusting it is for me, how I shun the bread of the human will. And even though I go to them, yet I cannot give them the fruits, the goods, the effects, the sanctity, because I do not find the one bread, the first bread, the bread of the divine will in them. And if I give them something, it is small in proportion according to their disposition, but not all the goods that I contain in my sacramental life is patiently waiting for a man to take this bread of the supreme will in order to be able to give all the goods of my sacramental life to humanity. Jesus says to Louisa, wait to see what happens when the divine will reigns, when you receive Holy Communion. You know, he says, I want to fill you with all the goods that my sacramental life can fill you with, which is what? He said it earlier, to centralize my whole life in you. That's what he did with Louisa. That's what he wants to do with us. So he says, my will must have its beginning. My will must have its possession. My will must have its growth and Adam was a virgin. Eve was a virgin. Jesus was a virgin. Mary was a virgin. And now to the first one virgin child, which we all should be in our hearts. And then whoever disposes himself and wants it shall enter the goods that living in my divine will contains. God is offering this to us. So he says, if I do not operate the prodigy of making one soul live in my supreme fiat, the fiat voluntas on earth as it is in heaven shall not take place in the human generations. He says, if I don't find a human born of original sin that I can give this to, it will never take place. I have to have my firstborn. That's Louisa. Volume 15, 6:18, 1923. Whoever has thought so much love of mine, and that in order to descend into the hearts of humanity, I was to receive myself and to secure the divine rights to be able to give them not only myself, but the very acts that I did in receiving myself in the Holy Eucharist. So when I go to communion, this is what Jesus taught Louisa. Jesus, I want to receive you as you received yourself. I want to receive in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so all of humanity can receive you as you received yourself. Why? He says, to dispose them, to almost give them the right to receive me. But again, that's when we're in the state of grace. If we're not in the state of grace, go to confession. Go to confession. Volume 15, 7:11, 1923. Now, Louisa, my daughter, you two are unique in my mind. This uniqueness is what God loves about us. We're all unique. And shall also be unique in history. And there shall not be either before or after you, Louisa, another soul for whom I, God, shall dispose, as though forced by necessity, the assistant of my priests. So he says, Louisa, I'm going to put a priest next to you all your life. I have chosen you, Louisa, in order to dispose in you the sanctity, the good, the effects, the attitude of my supreme will, as it was appropriate, just as decorous, for the very sanctity that my divine will contains, that a priest of mine should assist you, Louisa, to be the first depository of the goods that my divine will contains, so as to let them pass from his lap into the whole body of the church. So as he says, I was your priest, Mary, to what? To assist you to be the first depository of the kingdom of redemption for the goods that my divine will contains, to let him pass from your lap to John, the priest, from the priest to Our Lady, to John, from to the priest, Jesus, to Louisa, to the priest. This goes to the world. This is the sacrament of sacraments, Jesus says, the divine will. And he says, the priest does this. We have to understand it. It's the priest who does this. And I know the priesthood has got a very bad name. Jesus says it's the laughing stock of humanity at this point. But this is what God has chose. The high priest has given this gift to Our Lady to give redemption, to John, who gave it to the world. It's the high priest gave this gift to Louisa, who gave it to St. Honorable de Francia to give it to the world. So I'll end there, and we'll be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.